Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm. Let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Very special episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. We have a true legend here, an icon, the man who built the program we love today. Coach Frank Beamer, how are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Hope you are.
Oh, absolutely. After a great playing career at Virginia Tech, was coaching always your career path, or was there like another option that you had potentially planned on pursuing?
No, actually, I really hadn't thought about what I was going to do after college, and I was in a major that wasn't really conducive to being coaching in high school, so I actually had to go back. Once I decided I didn't have football any longer, I knew that I was going to miss football. So that's when I first started thinking about, well, let me go coach in high school. And there was an opening over at Radford High School, but I had to be able to teach math. So I actually had to go back and take a couple more math courses during the summer to get qualified to teach. But I was always, you know, pretty good in math, so I enjoyed doing that. So, I didn't know I was going to do it. So I didn't have it anymore. And then I said, wait a minute. I think I want to give this coaching a try.
During a successful stint at Murray State, Virginia Tech job opens up. Your alma mater. Mm-hmm. How confident were you that you would be hired for the position? And what was the process slash experience like during the whole interview process for your alma mater?
Well, Dutch Weichmann, was the athletic director at the time, and I remember we met in Nashville, and I think it was going well. I can remember it, and Cheryl was waiting for me. She went with me and was waiting in the room, and we took a break, and I can remember going back to her and saying, I think I'm going to get offered this job, and felt good about everything, and sure enough, later on, I did get offered the job, and so everything was good from there.
And, you took the job, and then mainly due to sanctions from a previous regime, the first few years at Tech didn't go very well for the Hokies. What was the biggest thing that you learned about yourself and about coaching football during that time that helped you turn it around after the 1992 season?
Well, I realized you needed players. That, we were penalized scholarships. And my fourth or fifth year, we were down 20-some scholarships. And 20-some people weren't there that could have been there. And that makes a big difference in a football program. So I realized right then that, you better be able to recruit, and you better have personnel because, you need players that can be successful on the football field. So that's basically what I learned.
And we all know how it worked out with Michael Vick, but what went into your decision to recruit Michael Vick instead of Ronald Curry, who may have been the hotter ticket at the time?
Well, they weren't going to go. They said early on they weren't going to go to the same school. And, for whatever reason, Ronald's a great player. But I think there was word he was going to go to Virginia or North Carolina. I'm not sure exactly how that went, but I mean, right away, I liked Michael, and I liked what he was all about and his toughness and his, how smart he was. And so we went with Michael, and knowing that they weren't going to go to the same school. And in the end, Tommy Raymond encouraged him to come here. His mother Brenda listened to Tommy Rehman, and Tommy, I think, told her, hey, you can trust these guys, and they'll treat him right. And so it worked out great. He got two people in the Hall of Fame. He got himself, and he got me. So there's not many people who can end up getting two people into the College Football Hall of Fame.
No, that's very true. He was a special, special talent.
Oh, my goodness.
So the internet makes recruits easier to find these days, but that wasn't always the case. What was your system for finding recruits and identifying talent like Lauren Johnson and Brandon Flowers down in Florida and other states further away?
We ended up having a couple of coaches that we really trusted their judgment, and became very good friends of the program. And our first stop was, okay, who should we be looking at? Who would not mind leaving the state, going out of state, and would fit at Virginia Tech? And so it's really we did a lot of taking advice of coaches that we knew in the area, and coaches that we could trust and did trust and trusted their judgment. So we did a lot of that.
What changed with the program after 2003 to avoid like the late season letdowns or slides and set us up for all those conference championships when we joined the ACC?
I think it ended up that you really tried to recruit good people. And if you had a great player that was a great person, that was it. That's the kind of guy you wanted. And they attracted other people. I can tell you, people wanted to go to where Michael Vick was and wanted to go where Tyrod Taylor was and wanted to go where Kim Chancellor and John Engelberger. I mean, great players attract other great players. So that's kind of how we worked it.
No, absolutely. I guess bonus question would be, around the time of joining the ACC, what was your feeling about joining that conference versus the Big East?
I grew up about an hour from here, right across the North Carolina line, really, in Virginia, but right across the line. And so I was very familiar with the ACC and always thought that's where Tech belonged. And academically, it was a great fit for us. And it was just, it's just fortunate it all worked out that that's where we became a member, because, I'd hate to think where we would be today if we weren't a member of the ACC.
I would agree with that. You had very little turnover on your staff throughout your whole coaching career at Virginia Tech, which is very, especially when you look at the climate today, it's very rare that you have coaches stay as long as you did, much less assistants stay as long as they did. How were you continuously able to keep your core of assistants together for the vast majority of your time at Virginia Tech? And what did you see in Coach Steinspring that made you comfortable naming him offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I had a coach. He was talking about another coach, but he said that this one coach walked in the building in the morning and acted like he was on a telephone, so he wouldn't have to speak to all the people in the building, the secretaries and the custodians and so forth. And I said, that's strange, because I wanted to speak to those people. I said, everyone in the building is a part of our success. And so I wanted to make them want to say hello to them and say, hey, you're important to us, and let them know you're important to us. So, and I think I just kind of spread, that's who we were, and that's take care of each other. I've got your back, and make it a good place to work. Want to come to work, enjoy coming to work. And and feel like they it was their job. I mean, this is your position, and you're not going to coach it. I'm not going to be looking over your shoulder and telling you to do this or telling you to do that. You know, it's yours, and we'll live. If it's successful, it's you. And if it's not successful, it's you. And so we work straight up and very open and very matter of fact in how we went about it.
No, absolutely. I had Coach Height, and I've had Coach Steinspring on this podcast, and they both said we just never wanted to let them down.
Well, again, I think we built a relationship here that, you know, it was them, it was their work. It wasn't going to be a guy always meddling with them and into their business. And I found out it worked very well that way. People are loyal to you and they want to get it done. And not only, I mean, for themselves, but also for the whole operation.
No, absolutely. We started off the 2010 season with back-to-back heartbreaking losses to Boise State at FedEx Field and JMU at home in the rain. What? But then we ran the table all the way to the ACC Championship, and then we played John Harbaugh and Stanford and Andrew Luck in the Orange Bowl. After the JMU loss, how did you get the team back on track for that amazing run?
Again, I think it goes back to people. You know, if you got a bunch of bums on your team, man, and you lose two games like that to start the year, it's probably going to come apart. But when you got character and good people and people that care about the other people, and coaches that care about the players, players that care about the coaches, that kind of atmosphere can get you through tough times, and it was a tough time. I mean, two losses, and we just got started. And so, you know, I think having the right kind of people in your program is what's really important.
Absolutely. The program in the past couple years has faltered a bit following your retirement. In your opinion, how do you think the Hokies get the program back on the right track?
Well, I think they've hired good coaches. I mean, sometimes it just works, and sometimes it don't. And it's a tough business. You know, you need results. It's a result business. So, you know, but I know we got the right athletic director here. Witt's the right kind of guy, and we're fortunate to have him as our athletic director. I can tell you that. He's very knowledgeable, very highly thought of in the profession. And so I trust him totally to he and John Boleyn, I think, is a great assistant for him. But he and his staff, they're going to get this thing right.
Yeah, we're ready for it.
Yeah,
definitely ready for it.
Yeah.
When did you first realize that Enter Sandman would become an iconic part of Virginia Tech football, along with you and Michael and all the other great players and coaches like Bud Foster?
Isn't that a great entrance?
It's amazing.
I tell people, I mean, we got the greatest entrance in college football. And, you know, I've always been a guy, I've always talked about, hey, we're all in this thing together. Students, alumni, professors, you know, custodians, we're all in this thing together. And there's not a better way of showing that than you walk into our stadium and everybody's jumping together. You know, it's we're all in this thing together. So, you know, it's just a great entrance. And Tim East, I think he's the guy that came up with it, and he deserves in the marketing department, and a lot of credit should go to him. But, man, it's just neat. It's just very, very neat.
Yeah, every game, I'm in the stands. I look up, are all around to the top of the south end zone with God, and around the north end zone and everything, and it's just everybody's going crazy. It's packed to the gills. And you built that. The players built that. The staff built that. The cafeteria workers, everybody built that. But I just want to thank you for over 30 years of excellence, scandal-free winning, like just absolute class act, Frank. And we, like, I'm honored to say you were my coach.
Well, thank you very much. It was great, great time here and great people, and just a lot of good people went into making this program great. And I'm proud of where it is and how it's thought of, and proud of, like I said, the leadership in our program. And so, you know, we got the right people leading us, Whit Babcock and so forth. And so we got the right people.
Absolutely, Coach. Thank you so much for your time today on Tales from the Terror Dome. And I hope maybe I'll run into you at one of these basketball games.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it, for sure.
Absolutely. And as always, go Hokies.
You got it.